Okay, Noah, are you familiar with The Truman Show, that movie?
I am. I watched that in high school English for some reason.
Yeah, that's a popular high school watching class movie. My question to you, though, because I saw this, I don't know where I saw this. I think I heard it on a podcast, asked, how long would it take you to figure out you were in the Truman Show?
Oh, Jesus. I don't think I ever would. I would never figure that out.
It'd be a while. Like, it'd be a pretty damn long time. Because there's just, it's your whole fucking life.
It's your whole life, yeah. I don't think I would, and I don't think most people would.
Yeah.
Because it almost takes, like, I don't remember the plot of the movie, but it almost takes somebody screwing up for you to notice.
Yeah, I think someone screwed up, and that was, like, part of it. But at a certain point, like, that's bound to happen, maybe. But I don't know. It's like a mind fuck. Like, what would it take? What kind of a screw-up would it take?
Yeah, I for me, it would take, like, a massive screw-up. Because I'm an incredibly gullible person. Like, you could just, like... a boom mic could, like, fall in front of me on after for some reason. And, like... somebody I know comes up and gives me like a semi-rational explanation for it. I'd be like, yeah, sure. That happens to everybody, obviously.
My thing with that, the Truman Show thing, would be like the cast. Like, those people are locked in for the long haul.
Oh my God, that's a commitment, right?
It seems
that's a lifelong contract.
Yeah,
I can't commit to a year.
They swapped out someone relevant, like his girlfriend or something. Remember? I don't remember.
Yeah.
I remember that happening.
I do vaguely remember that. I guess you could kill off characters, you know?
That's true. Jesus Christ, that's so fucked up.
You could, right?
You could, like, though. That's how you do it.
If, like, you can't swap out, like, a sibling, but if the sibling, like, was like, I quit, sibling just gets in a car accident, you know? Mess up the body so bad, you can, like, just throw anybody in makeup and you're set.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's a bit, I would think it would take a long time. You'd have to, especially, like, well, also, what if they told you that, like, you know, like, oh yeah, your friends just show up as different people sometime. Like, what is that something, what if that's something you just, like, inherently
thought,
accustomed to? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, your friends just, like, they're the same person, they just change bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah, because anybody you ask will be like, yeah, that happens to me too, right? Mm-hmm. I got a question for you.
Okay.
Think of something in your life right now that would be explained being in a Truman Show. That's could be tough to think of something, but maybe it pops up. I don't know.
I don't know, because it'd be like... like, what's a Truman Show thing, right? Is it just, like, something happening just, like, perfectly?
Yeah,
or
I mean,
is it
could be
more
that.
Like...
it could be, like, yeah, I guess that would be probably the most common example, I think.
Or, like, something that's, like, high drama. You know, because it is, like, a television show, right? It has to be entertaining.
It's got to be entertaining. You got to get those advertisement dollars.
I think that's like the biggest thing going against examples for me, is that there's not a lot going on.
No. Maybe that was the coronavirus. Maybe, like, people needed a break, so, like, most people are on vacation and to give them vacation, there was the coronavirus. So you're only seeing so many people now.
Limited cast right now.
Yeah. So, like, Aaron got screwed over, but, like, all your, like, but everybody else, they're on just a massive vacation.
Yeah. That's a good point. I don't know. Yeah, because of that, because of the coronavirus, it would have to be just, like, work, right?
Yeah.
Work things. But even that, I would think, would be pretty boring to watch for most people.
Yeah. Approving loans is not a primetime entertainment.
I don't think so. Yeah, there's not a lot of primetime entertainment happening right now. Do you have any?
I feel like I do. I feel like a lot of, like, weird shit, like, what the fuck moments happen to me, but maybe I'm a bit conceited.
Well, no, you mean you took the state of California to court over that ticket.
Oh my god, I did. Did I tell that on the pod? Yeah, I did, yeah, right? I'm awesome. Yeah. That was like a 90s movie moment. Would have made great TV. Mm-hmm. Like a 90s movie that like is on TV rerun now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Where they play like inspiring music. The judge gives me a wink. Pretty sure that happened a few months later. Pretty sure he gave me the wink.
The judge shows up as like another character, as like your mailman.
Just start recycling. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the judge back. What a guy. I kind of forgot what he looks like. And I watched My Cousin Vinny recently, so I think I'm just going to mentally substitute the judge in My Cousin Vinny and the judge in my life.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this episode is not about The Truman Show.
No.
Although the movie has some quality. Not really. Kind of.
They're like both.
More than most movies.
Yes, more than most movies.
Okay, we're doing a movie episode, but this is episode 90 of the Noah and Eric Show.
Jeez, what are we gonna do for 100?
I don't know. It's still a ways away. It would be February. So
that's pretty close to when we started. That would be like our 3 or 4 year anniversary.
Oh, yeah, it basically is. Ooh, wow. That has to be a special one. I don't know what that's gonna be though.
Oh, that's kind of neat. Look at that.
Yeah, it is pretty neat.
Yeah.
Okay, episode 90, Noah and Eric Show. We watched a movie, and the movie we watched is called Triangle. Most yes. people have probably not heard of this movie. I had not heard of this movie till recently, and I should have. I feel like more people should know about it.
It was a great fucking movie. Yeah, this movie like should be huge. And it came out like a little bit before Inception, you know? Like I feel like it doesn't have a ton in common with Inception, but I feel like it's kind of what like it's kind of got that same like mind-melting idea to it.
But it's a mind bomb. I mean, it's up there. It's up yeah. there with the what are like the biggest mind bomb movies you've seen? Is like for me Donnie Darko is far and away the number one still.
Yeah, if we're being honest, I don't remember why that's a mind bomb, but I was very high when I watched it.
we're definitely gonna do that movie, an episode yeah. of that movie one day, and it's
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, Donnie Darko, probably Inception, I guess. I haven't seen Tenet, and I will see it eventually, but I'm not really that interested.
No, it's not up there. Oh man, what other mind bomb movies are there?
Like Shutter Island.
Oh, that's a good one for sure. Shutter Island. Yeah, that's a super underrated movie.
Or like Sixth Sense.
Yeah, Sixth Sense is for sure. I feel like maybe Beautiful Mind in a way is kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't come at the end, but like 3/4 of the way in, 2/3 of the way in.
Yeah. Yeah, this one's up there. I think it's up there with all those, and I think. Just because of like the complexity of the explanation to it, I would put it right up there. You know,
it feels like I brought up Inception because it feels like the more sophisticated. Oh shit! You want to help me out there?
Sophisticated.
Instead of just laughing at me.
No, it's you know.
It feels like that a more smarter version of Inception.
There is a lot of like meaning at the core of this one, I believe, and that will take up a good amount of discussion.
Yeah, that's it. I love Inception. I don't want to rag on that movie. Mm-hmm. I don't want to zag on that.
Mm.
Inception's a great movie.
All right. Okay. The movie is called Triangle. It was released in 2009.
And there's some CGI that really makes it feel like it's 2009.
Oh yeah, no, that's not why it's good.
It's not.
It's a small budget. It was only $12 million.
Wow.
It's a British Australian film, which is maybe why we hadn't heard of it. That's
who the fuck was British or Australian except for Hemsworth? They were all Americans, weren't they?
Yeah, they were all American. I don't know. I guess I mean they must have been filmed there. and distributed via British and Australian companies.
Why are they making movies about us? We already make movies about us. Like, I don't know. We got that under wraps. We don't need to do that, Australia.
Not. No American made Triangle. Actually, I don't even know if that's true. I don't know if... Well, maybe the director. The director's British. So there's that. Okay. You're not buying it.
No, I'm not. This is an American movie with an Australian dude in it.
Okay. So yes, 2009. Directed by Christopher Smith. He is the aforementioned British director and writer of the movie.
Very British name.
It stars Melissa George is the lead. It also stars Michael Dorman, who is the guy who it's his boat. We'll talk about the boat in a little, but the guy who owner of the boat, he is the star of the Amazon original show Patriot.
Oh,
I've never seen him in anything else, but he is in this movie.
I've heard that's good. I think I've heard that from you. It's good.
Yep. Yep. Okay, we're going to do the normal thing. We're going to dive into the plot here, and then next time we're going to try and figure out what does it all mean.
Wait, you were talking about cast, but you didn't mention the only person that is actually famous.
Liam Hemsworth?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Liam Hemsworth is in this movie.
He is recognition.
Famous for being brother to Chris Hemsworth.
They look identical. I would believe that's Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, he's like slightly slimmer. Not that like Chris Hemsworth is like big, but like he's just there's, I don't know.
Yeah.
His body type's a little different. But yeah, they look pretty damn similar. I believe they're brothers. I buy it.
They're not lying to us.
Yeah. Okay.
Whoever casted that for Chris Hemsworth Truman Show did a hell of a job.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, now this is an interesting movie. It is billed as a psychological thriller, but it's kind of like all the stuff makes it look like a horror movie. I haven't watched the trailer, but I imagine like all the posters and stuff make it look like a real horror movie.
Yeah, 100%.
It's kind of not. It kind of is, but it's kind of not. It's not really what it looks was made out to look like.
Yeah, there are horror elements in it, but it's much more of a psychological thriller for sure.
Yes. Okay. So, like I said, we're gonna do the summary, and then we're gonna do the other stuff in a part two. Also, kind of like Eternal Sunshine. This plot summary is also a little wiggy to do.
Yes, I think it's going to be a little bit easier than Sunshine.
It'll be a little easier for Sunshine for sure. But so we're gonna go through it as the events transpire, as we're shown them in the movie. That's a not so subtle wink, because things take place all over the timeline. Okay, so the movie opens. And it's Melissa George. We later find out her name is Jess, and she's holding her son Tommy.
Good son name.
She's crying. She's distressed. That's the opening shot. And we see that his hands are all blue. Dyed blue in that shot.
He made a mess. Goddamn kid.
He made a mess. And this, so this is, we're shown this like interspersed with like the title screen, right? Like it goes from that, and then it says like goes all black, and it's like triangle, and then like we see something else, and then it goes
the producer,
to, like, the actors, yeah, exactly. So the first one of those is her hugging Tommy, and Tommy's hands are blue. I believe the next one is her hanging up laundry and she's wearing a dress.
Yeah,
I rewatched the opening sequence. Have you rewatched the opening sequence since finishing it?
No, I really wanted to, and I forgot immediately once the movie was over. But like at the end of the movie, I was like, I need to rewatch the beginning of this.
It's interesting how they edited it. We'll talk about it, I guess, after the fact. But yeah, so the next one is like her. She's like hanging up laundry and stuff, and then she's like doing chores around the house. We see her like cleaning up a mess of blue shit on the floor, which is presumably where his hands got blue. That Tommy.
Oh yeah, that's some good thinking right there.
Also, I just realized this because you were talking about how this is yet another one of the troubled son mother relationships that we love so much. Babadook's an Australian movie.
Oh shit, you're right. It is an Australian movie. Thing. I don't know how that's relevant because this is an American movie, but yeah. But yeah, we definitely have the last few episodes we've had a theme of single moms struggling with bad children.
Yes, and Tommy. Well, Tommy's a little more sympathetic than. Well, no, the kid in Babadook's pretty sympathetic.
Yeah,
but
you don't see as much of the child misbehaving.
Yeah, and Tommy, we find out later. I believe he is autistic. And he goes to a special needs school.
Yeah, he does.
7 days a week. That is important. Semi important later. Okay, yeah. So we find out she's clearly a single mom. She's doing chores around the house. She cleans up the blue watercolor. Is what it looks like. Some kind. And then it's cut. She's like kind of getting ready in a hurry. Tommy is like super not having it. He does not want to leave the house. He's clearly very freaked out.
I didn't even put that together.
Well, she's like struggling to get him out of the house, I guess, is the best way to put it. And he doesn't want to leave. And so she's like gathering up his shit, and then we see her go to the fridge, and then she has there's the sticky note that says Greg Harbor 8:30. The triangle.
I also didn't notice this. I'm gonna be learning a lot today.
Well, we'll come to this again later because it's pretty on the nose. But do you see a glimpse of her address? Because as she's getting ready, someone rings the doorbell, and then she runs out. You know, you remember the part where like the doorbell rings and no one's there?
No, we're gonna. Oh, I do remember that. I remember her asking her neighbor about.
Yeah, she asked the neighbor, like, "Did you see who came?" He was like, "No." We get that clip, but you do see her address. You know what the address was?
No, what was it?
Her address is 237.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
this is that'll one come of the up fun again. Facts I read. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll come up again later. Okay, and then she's hurrying out the house, and then she like stuffs a big ass bag in her trunk, and then she drives, and then she's at. We just see the car drive off, and then it cuts to a Greg at the boat. So we're through there. We just saw her struggling to get her son out of the house. That's all we're really shown.
I one of my prouder moments in retrospect. I saw that bag and I was like, that feels odd.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll get
there. So I'm gonna take this moment to brag.
No, yeah, you're right. No, it is weird, and it's like the way they cut it is like it's very well done. Because I rewatched. It's honestly only like the first 5 minutes until you get to the boat stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like it's just that opening sequence where they're like intercutting different things, and you realize that they did some clever things there.
Yeah. No, this is a well directed movie.
Yeah,
the whole movie had like a real vibe to it.
Oh, for sure.
And it really comes across well.
So like I said, we see her driving off in her car with her son, presumably to like drop him off at school or whatever. And then she's at the harbor. Well, we see Greg first. Greg is at his boat. He has a sailing boat, like a real sailboat.
Yeah, he does. he does. I gotta say, they're all such douches on that boat except for Jess. And it was kind of hysterical, and it was really, really perfect. But I think sailing is kind of really fucking cool. There's something about, like, going out in the water and only we're using wind and, like, what, sheets, you know? Like, what's that term? Sails? And going across the ocean, I think it's cool.
Yeah, man. Yeah, no, it's cool. So you see Greg, he's getting the boat ready, and he's having a day out in the waters. And it's going to be, we see he meets his friends. They're like old friends from school.
Princeton, I assume.
No, it's, yeah, it's a Queen's College of Australia. Who are they? They were Downey and Sally. They're like a couple, and Greg knew them from school.
And they kind of sucked from the beginning, you know?
No, they suck real hard. Yeah. And she, Sally brings along one of her coworker friends. Her name's Heather. Heather is in this movie.
she technically is. Yeah. She's got some strong bangs. That's what I remember.
She does have, she has a bang game. That is for sure. And then, so yeah, Sally's like wants to hook up Greg with this Heather here.
Yeah. So something like looking back, she's kind of like the realest character in the movie. Like she's not playing like a, she's like not overset. Like everybody, like you have like, you have Jess, who's like,
well, like Jess, at this Jess point, has her own shit going on.
She's got her own shit going on. But you have the main dude from The Patriot that is kind of like the cool guy, but also kind of douchey. You don't fully trust him, but like he's kind of really charming at the same time. Mm-hmm. You have this two friends that are like just the fucking most pretentious people in the world.
Yeah.
You have Hemsworth, and Hemsworth is also just doing his own thing. Like she's like the only one she's the only one that feels like a real person today.
Yeah. Heather is like a normal human. And she's like, yeah, we'll could talk more about Heather. We'll give her due because, you know, she leaves us shortly.
Justice for Heather.
Justice for Heather. Then we also meet Victor, who is Liam Hemsworth. And he is like, Greg found him sleeping by a dumpster or something and let him live on his boat.
Yeah, something incredibly weird. Like,
yeah. Also, like, Sally refers to Victor as like 18, and he's definitely not. And I don't know if that was just like a, you know, being like a joke.
I didn't even pick that up. No, there's no way in hell that dude was 18. That was a grown ass man.
So yeah, so that's Victor, and so like he works on the boat, right?
Yeah,
he's a
blue collar man.
Blue collar, yes, exactly. Helping Greg with the sails and the mast,
as any good Princeton alum would do. Hire somebody else to do the work.
Greg, I feel like you're low on Greg, lower on Greg than I am. I think Greg's whatever.
I didn't. I actually kind of like Greg at first because he's kind of really charming, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's really the whole cast. We've introduced the whole cast. Well, there's actually one other cast person in the whole movie.
There, yeah.
But we will get to that later. So they set sail. Well, so then we meet. Then Jess arrives at the harbor, and she is unwell.
She's frazzled.
Yeah. Some shit has gone down.
What shit?
We don't know. Well, we don't know. She is unwell, and she gives like a heartfelt apology to Greg, and Greg's like hella confused. But he's very excited she showed up. His friends don't know Jess, and apparently he just met her at a diner.
Yeah, the vibe
makes me a little
I got
uncomfortable. But
true. Yeah, true. The vibe I got like after at some point in the movie was like, he was a regular at the diner, and like she worked there, and like they've known each other for a couple years, maybe.
Yeah.
At least like 6-7 months, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, you're right. And so, yeah, Jess, at this point, Jess is very, very sympathetic. You know, she's a single mother, her child's a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. She's sympathetic almost the whole movie.
Yeah. And then she's just having a rough go, and she just wants to go fucking boating.
What else do you do when you've had a bad day?
Go fucking
get out on the water and go sailing with.
And she works at a diner
with your polo shirts and.
They did all have polo shirts except for Jess, I believe.
Yeah. Sailors are gonna do their thing, you know.
Jess shows up in her like shirt and carnigan sweater cover thing. It's what Jess wears is kind of important. I learned later.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. So they get on the boat and they set sail to the high seas, and it's glorious. Jess like takes a nap. She naps for like a long time. It's like a strange amount of time.
Weird move on Jess's part, like to show up to like a boat party and
she doesn't
like,
know it. The only person she knows is Greg. She's like
that makes
stranger.
It weirder that yeah. She took a nap. Get to know somebody.
And it was like hours.
Yeah.
Like when she woke up, it was like Heather who was just like, "Hey," and she was like, "How long have I been asleep?" And she's like, "We've been out here for a few hours." She's also like, "How long of a boating day is this?"
I have major questions about the length of time. Where the fuck they were going? They're out in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, they go some deep waters.
Yeah, like they're fucking out there. Who goes, like, are you sailing to a fucking another continent? Like, what's the game plan here, Greg?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's liquor on board. They have cocktails.
Ah, you're sailing. You're going to get drunk. You're out sailing. You ain't sailing if you're not drunk.
They have sailing juice, as it's called. So yeah. Oh, and the sailboat is called the Triangle.
Very not. It's not quite saying the name of the movie in the movie, but it's pretty damn close.
It's pretty close. It's yeah. pretty close.
Big fan of that. Good move.
So Jess wakes up and they talk, and Greg and Jess are clearly chummy. I would say they were chummy.
Oh yeah, they're feeling it.
We learned some details about Jess. This is where I believe, because like Victor's like basically tells Greg like she's fucking weird. He doesn't say it like that, but he says something like that, and then Greg is like, oh no, she has like having a hard time with her son, and he goes to school. Oh, and then this is where Victor and Greg talk about they have like a conversation about what did she say, because Greg's like, why was she so frazzled? And he was like, she wouldn't say. And she was like, and Victor says that she seemed like she didn't know where her son was. But then Greg tells us that her son goes to school 7 days a week.
I didn't pick up on that too. Yeah. Wow, this must be a hell of a, did you watch this twice?
No.
You just took these notes as you went?
Well, no, I mean, actually, no. I don't,
oh, you read like a recap thing?
Yeah, I watched a lot of recaps. Well, like okay. a couple. Yeah.
There's a lot of things that like a second rewatch would be like.
This movie rewatches well, I'll say. Yeah. This movie rewatches very well. I rewatched the beginning a few times. That first 5 minutes or whatever. So yeah, so Victor was like, she seemed like she didn't know where her son was. And I asked her where her son was, and she like looked off distantly and paused, and then was like, "School," and he was like, "That's weird."
It kind of is weird.
It is kind of weird, but as Greg says, she goes to school 7 days a week, and it was a Saturday. That was the other detail.
Also, a weird thing. I don't know of that being a thing.
7 day a week schools.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it could be an Australian thing. Because as it is an Australian movie.
It is not an Australian movie, and as we'll find out later, it doesn't take place in Australia.
Do we? Oh, you're right. You're actually... Well...
That's the best part of the movie!
Yeah, you're right. You might be wrong, but I know what you're talking about. You're wrong, and I'll tell you why later.
I'm not wrong. I'm 100% right.
No, you're 100% wrong.
No, I refuse to be wrong. Keep going.
I know what you're talking about, and you're 100% wrong. Okay, so now the movie gets juicy, right? Jess is awake. They're all talking. Greg and Jess are chummy. Sally is pissed because Greg has taken no interest in her friend Heather. Heather, quite frankly, does not care.
No, she does, and that like is what part of made her even more real and likable. She was like, I don't care. You do your own thing. I just got dragged along.
Yeah, she's like, I'm gonna drink this booze and be on this boat.
Heather, justice for Heather. She was the fucking best character.
Heather was great. Okay, things go awry. They're sailing, right? And what's a key part of sailing?
The wind.
The wind. Oh, well, what happens when the wind just turns off? Because that's what happens.
You realize you're actually in the Truman Show.
Yes, exactly. That's yeah. That's a sign you're in the Truman Show.
Yeah.
The wind just stops. Like, immediately. There's no, like, die down. It's blowing, and then it's just
snaps.
Not blowing at all.
Bad sign if you're ever in the middle of nowhere on the ocean.
Yeah, on a sailboat in particular. Now, Greg does mention that the boat has a motor, but he's just like, oh, but it's just very weird.
Yeah, he mentions that and then doesn't turn on the motor and just, like, lets it be for a few minutes.
Yeah, this is like if there's any plot hole, because, like, the plot is very intricately, like, laid out, but, like, him taking no action when he has a motor... It's astounding. They should just cut that line.
Yeah, you don't need a ride in. There's a motor. Just let them be screwed.
Because they are. Spoiler alert, this goes poorly.
Very poorly.
So yeah, the wind stops, and they're like, that's weird. And then they see this hellstorm on the horizon. It's just like one ominous cloud. It's just like a fuck you in particular type of storm.
Yeah.
Also, another question I had, he had everyone go below deck. Isn't that like a bad idea?
I thought this too, but I think it's because like when you're sailing, let me explain how sailing works.
No, please.
You got a lot of bars going, a lot of ropes going a lot of different directions, and like that thing swings around. And, like, you might get hit off the boat or just hit in general. So, like, assuming you're not about to sink, it's actually going to be safer down below because you're out of the way of everything.
Okay. All right. No, that's a great explanation. You've just cleared that up for me. Thank you.
I actually went to Princeton for before
like
you
came. You think the only place you can learn how to boat is Princeton?
You tell me another place and maybe I'll believe it.
That's true. Okay, so yeah, the storm is a rough one on the high seas, and the boat capsizes is the boating term.
Yeah, they gave it their best chance.
Yeah, the boat doesn't go well, and they all end up on the bottom of the boat. Well, like the boat tips over and they're all splayed in the ocean. They find the boat is floating but upside down, so they like scramble to the remains of the boat. But Heather is nowhere to be seen.
Oh God, fucking Heather!
It's just tragic, real tragic. I kept waiting for her to show up again.
I did too. Like yeah, but the entire time I was like, they're gonna play the Heather card in just a moment.
Yeah. So then their plan is to like they're like the storm passed. It was a quick storm. It was really just like I said. It was a fuck you in particular storm.
Well put.
So then they're like, well, we're just gonna chill.
What else would they do?
Yeah. Oh, and
did you ever read or watch the movie Unbroken?
No.
That's based on a true story, and it was a World War II dude that got shot down and just chilled on a boat for like I think he was out there for like 50 days.
Jesus, how? Like how did he get enough sustenance to survive?
He like it could be like 3 days. Definitely not 3 days. But it was like a significant amount of time. I can't remember how he got water, but like he fished for food or like fought off sharks or shit. That's gnarly. Yeah, he went through hell and back, and definitely a better better trip than what these people go through.
Yeah, this trip goes, yeah, right. Oh, also, like, as the storms are blowing, we hear Sally, try and call for help on their, like, radio thing.
Oh, no, that happens before the storm hits, right?
I think it's, like, as it's coming, or, like, they see it coming.
Is it Sally, though, or is it Greg?
Oh, no, you're right, it's Greg. Greg. I slipped up. And I think you know why.
That's why there's two of us.
Yeah. No, it is Greg. It is Greg we see on the radio. And, yeah, we'll move on. Yeah, so the boat's over. They're on the underside of the boat. And they're just like, well, we're just going to fucking wait. We're going to wait for help. And then, lo and behold, help comes almost immediately.
God bless.
A huge steamer ship comes out of nowhere. And they're saved, they think. Well, they, you know.
Be over.
The boat, yes, is a big old, like, steamship. I don't know my ships. Do you know what kind of ship that was?
It was the Titanic. You know, it was a big one.
It was a Titanic-esque ship. It does look like that.
I'm not just a sailboat expert. I'm just a boat expert.
Really, all branches of boating.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then they're like calling out for help, as you would do, trying to get the attention of the boat. And they see someone stirring upon the deck, and then looks out at them. And so they're,
and then runs away.
Well, it walks away, but they're like, oh, they're saved. We're saved. And then the boat comes like close to them, and then they're able to like jump on, or like, you know, climb aboard as it is a boat. And then things get weird.
Yeah, then things get weird. I recently watched most of Titanic, and have you seen Titanic?
Yeah, it's been a while though.
Okay, good, because I don't want to spoil anything. What? I gotta say, I'd rather go through what Titanic went through than what these people are about to go through.
Both are pretty traumatic.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess we'll see. So they get on board, and they're trying to find anybody, you know, just people that you would expect to see on such a large ship.
Oh, you expect to be packed?
Yeah, but there's not a damn person they can see.
No, they just keep walking around.
Yeah, so they're trying to find the skipper, as Greg always calls
it. A boating term. Okay, so we've been joking about how we're boating experts. I fucking love that Greg is the boating expert for everything. Like, he kind of knows how to sail a sailboat, and he knows everything about this boat, too.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck are you, Greg?
We need to find the skipper.
Yeah.
So they're trying to find the skipper, and they're walking around. The boat's completely deserted. And so a few things happen in this sequence, in the immediate onboarding. One thing that's an interesting detail, which we can come back to, is, do you remember when Greg asks like Victor, like, what time is it? And Greg's like, I don't know what time, he says. But then and then Jess checks her watch and compares it to the ship clock, and it's a completely fucking different time
to the time said. Like, Jess and the ship clock are the same time.
Yeah, but
I did notice that, and I was like, oh, that's interesting.
We're gonna bookmark that, and we'll come back to that when we discuss theories of what this all means.
I'm excited.
So moving on, they can't find anyone. They're walking through the ship, and Jess is like still kind of wigging out. She's like, she's saying that she has deja vu. Like, she feels like she's been on the ship before, which is always
not a good sign.
Yeah. In this type of movie, you never want to know the creepy ship.
Yeah. You do not.
And then they're walking around. They hear the sound of something dropping. And it's a very, that's a startling moment, because it was deserted, but clearly there's someone. And they run, and they find, what do they find? Do you remember what they found?
They found Jess's keys.
Yeah, they found a set of keys, and Jess is like, these are my keys. That shouldn't happen.
No, that should not happen. That is another bad sign.
bad signs all around here.
Yeah.
I want to make sure we get this in the right order. Well, so, and then they find, like, why the ship's name. There's, like, a little plaque, which, like, this is, like, the most in-your-face explanation for what the movie's about.
I watched it twice just so I understood it. I, like, rewind it.
Yeah. So the ship is named the Aeolus. Something like that.
One of those got to be right.
And it's a combination of a god of the wind and Sisyphus, the guy who's condemned to roll a stone up a hill for all eternity.
Yeah.
And rolls back down.
I gotta say, I love it when the movie just tells you what it's about in, like, mythology.
Mm-hmm.
I love that trope.
Yeah, no, it's cool. And also, like, they didn't beat around the bush. They were walking through the ship. They saw a big-ass plaque, and they were like, what is this plaque? And they were like, oh, this ship is named after Sisyphus. And then someone's like, what is Sisyphus? And then one of them is like, oh, of course, the Greek myth where the god cheated death and has to roll a rock up a hill for all of eternity.
It was like an infomercial.
Yeah, and then someone's like, wow, that would be bad.
Not a good sign if you're in a movie.
No, bad sign. Very bad sign.
Very bad sign.
And then I want to make sure I get the order correct. Jess sees a glimpse of someone, another person on board, and it, like, briefly in, like, a mirror, and then that thing runs off.
Yeah.
And Victor, I believe, chases after it. And then
classic 18-year-old stupidity.
Yeah, Liam Hemsworth. They decide to split up and search the ship. Downey and Sally, and then Greg and Jess. Downey and Sally stay, and, like, they end up in this ballroom thing. Greg and Jess go to find the skipper. Gotta find the fucking skipper. And they're walking through, and then they find a room. Do you remember the what room number that room is?
Wasn't that also 237?
It was also 237. Do you remember what room 237 is?
Like, in terms of, like, another movie, or in terms of...
Yeah, in terms of another movie.
Yeah, it's The Shining.
Yeah, it's The Shining room number. Yeah.
There's a few different Shining references.
Yeah. Well, we're about to get to kind of another. So they go into the room. And so when you see the room's 237, you're like, this one is very clear. It's in your face.
Yeah.
Like the plaque and the Sisyphus myth.
Yeah. It's less subtle, which I really appreciated.
And they start walking in, and then you hear, like, water going in the bathroom, which, like, I don't know if you remember that particular scene from The Shining, but there was also water in the bathroom in that scene. So I was like, oh man, this is not great. And then they see in blood on the mirror, someone has written, go to the theater, which is not good. And so here's where things get, like, I mean, things are pretty not ideal at this point already.
They're not having a good time.
But then Greg... is like, oh, we have to go to the theater. And Jess is like, that's a bad idea. And Greg's like, no, like, they're probably just playing a sea prank or whatever the fuck he says.
Because you know what people do on fucking ships, Greg.
Yeah, and she's like,
that's a sea prank.
Yeah, it's like all of these sailor jokes.
We found just like the sailors seeing a bunch of stranded people on a boat who they don't, like, barely alive, let's go pull a prank on them when they get on board.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's abandon the ship and scare the shit out of them. Nobody's doing that, Greg.
Yeah, and like, yeah, and then, so Greg is adamant to go to the theater, and Jess is not adamant, and then they have an argument, you know, feelings get hurt, and Greg ends up going to the theater, and then I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jess at this point goes back to that ballroom where Downey and Sally were.
Yes.
Yeah, she does. Okay. So we follow Jess back to the dining room, and that's where we see Victor again, correct?
Is that when Victor is, like, almost dead?
Yeah.
Yes, that is where we see Victor.
So this is the first time shit is, like... I mean, shit's been real. I guess we lost Heather. We don't want to downplay Heather.
Yeah, that's offensive on so many levels. But we've also had a message written in blood, so shit's definitely real.
Shit's been real, but this is the first time someone's, like, been hurt. Like, on the ship. On this ship.
On this ship. Don't you dare disrespect Heather.
I won't disrespect Heather anymore. So we see Victor come out, and he's just covered in blood and, like, incoherent. And Jess is like, what's going on? And Downey and Sally are nowhere to be seen. And this scene's really fucking gross. She, like...
Yeah, it is.
She, like, I don't know if she, like, hugs him or somehow she, like, touches his head. And there's... She feels brains.
Yeah, she does. Fucking nasty.
There's a hole in the back of his head where his brains are spilling out.
It's not like they allude to it, too. They fucking show it.
I had to, like, double take. I was like, that's brains. Like, at first I wasn't sure. At first I was like, I wasn't sure. I was like, that's just a gross wound. And then I was like, no, that's brains.
They're showing it all.
Yeah. Yeah, so Victor dies.
he's not going to survive that one?
No, he didn't survive that one. So then Jess is, like, covered in blood and sad that they've lost dear Victor. And so she goes to the theater because she knows that's where Greg is, right?
Yeah.
And then so she sees Greg, or she goes to the theater, and then she sees that Greg... She hears a gunshot as she's walking to the theater. And then she runs in, and she sees that Greg has been shot in the chest. And Sally and Downey are there with him, attending to his wounds. And they get really mad at Jess because he said that Jess shot her. But that can't be.
That can't be. We just saw Jess running
fingering
away from
Victor's brains.
Liam Hemsworth. Oh, also, Liam Hemsworth tried to choke Jess. That feels pretty important.
Yes, that is true. That is true. That did happen. But it was just, you know, it seemed like he was just incoherent because his brains were oozing out of his... out of his school.
Yeah.
So they get mad at Jess, and Jess is like, I am sad too, because Greg is the only one of you I liked.
The rest of you are fucking assholes.
And then we hit another gear. That's the thing with this movie. It's just like every it's just going, we're just upshifting the whole movie.
That's exactly what it, that is a very good analogy.
So the next upshift on the balcony, because it's like a big, you know, cruise ship theater.
Oh, it's the Titanic
theater. There's like balconies for the rich goers, and out pops a figure with a sack on its head, very scary looking, like kind of like from that movie The Strangers or whatever, that or the others or whatever, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
With a shotgun, and starts shooting at them.
Oh yeah. Gets the dude immediately too.
Yeah,
he's down.
Downey's fucking down. Tag Sally. Jess is just running about trying to dodge bullets.
Starts trying to drag Sally away. Fuck, I don't know why, but she tries.
Jess is a good person. And then the masked, we'll call him the masked magician. I can't think of anything.
Yeah, the masked, I love it. Nah, man.
The masked magician with shotgun in tow. Chases Jess through the bowels of the ship. This is very intense, and Jess hides out, and seemingly evades the masked magician. But all of her comrades are now dead, right? Like Victor's dead. Sally's was dying, but is presumably dead.
Greg's
we know
dead.
Downey's dead. Greg's for sure dead.
Heather's dead.
Fucking Heather.
Do not forget about Heather. I thought you were about to.
So Jess goes to like the deck of the ship, and there's a battle with the masked magician, where they have some hand to hand combat.
The masked magician gets her on the ground, and it like looks like he's about to shoot her for like a length of time.
Should have pulled the trigger. You know,
should have pulled the trigger. Missed the chance.
Missed chance. And then you know Jess does some fucking Tom Cruise shit. With grabs the gun and like points it away from her face, you know.
Some and then badass they shit.
Some fucking there's some axe versus crowbar fighting.
Oh yeah!
After that, which is fucking gnarly.
I forgot about that.
and then Jess has the masked magician beat. You know that she unhands the masked magician from its crowbar and is about to hack it to pieces. But what happens? What happens here?
The masked man gets on the ledge, right?
Yeah, and starts saying like, "Kill them all." Kill them all. It does say that there.
He does. I heard though, kill me.
I think it says you have to kill it. Maybe it's like you have to kill everyone.
Yeah, no, that's what he says. But in the moment.
Oh, okay.
I heard like, kill me, kill me, yeah. And I thought that was on purpose, but maybe it's not.
When I was listening to, I'd have to go back and watch it. I think they like edit it so it sounds weird.
Yeah,
like they like
yeah,
fuck with the sound.
It's super muffled. Yeah. This whole movie like fucks with all of the sound. It's like super echoey. Some things are like super loud on the boat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like this whole movie is like kind of pushing you through a trip. It's kind of like a dream state.
Yeah,
which I feel like sure. is really important to like say. Like that's a huge part of the movie.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, and then the masked magician leaps off the edge into the sea, and Jess is alone on the boat.
Just and, her.
Are you ready for the and we're ready for the next upshift?
Yeah, we are. Big upshift.
So there's a she like there's like a record starts playing in the background, like an old timey record. You remember that? Mm-hmm. And
on
there's,
loop.
Yeah, it's on a loop. That's another big wink. And she like resets the needle, and then what does she hear? Out in the distance,
she hears her.
She hears people yelling for help.
Yeah, she does.
Like they were. What's going on?
What's going on is right.
So she staggers out and
this ain't your ordinary movie.
No, she peers down from the deck. And she sees Greg, and she sees Downey, and she sees fucking Sally, and not Heather, but she sees not Victor, Heather. And she sees herself. That shouldn't happen.
No, that does not happen. That doesn't happen to me.
And she peers down from the deck, and then it cuts to their view, and it's the same figure that we saw from before.
We saw
Jess.
Ooh, I'm missing them all up. Jess.
We saw Jess. She was the figure. And so then they board the ship, and she's freaked out, naturally, as you would be. Saw yourself.
Anybody would.
She's like frantic. She ends up, dropping her keys. And what do you know? It's the cycle has begun.
And it all kind of starts to make sense.
Yeah. But this is where the movie like. Continues to upshift. So like Jess tries to be good this time around, you know? She tries to break the cycle in points. There's the part where I believe she runs into Victor at the top because he was looking for the figure. Right?
Yeah.
Which turned out to be obviously Jess. And what does she do when she sees Victor? Well, first of all, Victor's like, "How'd you get here so fast?" Which is like, you know, that's fun.
They're two different Jesses.
Right. And then she's like trying to reason with him, and he's like freaking out because she's trying to explain the situation. She's like, "There's two of me," you know? And he was like, "You're insane."
you're incoherent.
She thought she was a crazy person before.
Yeah.
Before this. And then she ends up like trying to reason with him and ends up pushing him back into a nail in the wall, which pierces the back of his skull.
Right in the head.
Right where his brains are.
The brains are back. You thought we were done with the brains.
Which that answers why he attacked her, because he realized that she brainsed him.
Yeah. It was her all along.
It was her all along. What else happens in this one? But there's still the masked magician, right? That yeah, mystery still, the mask, still the stands. Mask. There's a masked magician. She tries to like throw the masked magician off, right? She ends up like shooting back. She finds like where the masked magician got the suit and sack and guns. There's like a little like locker room sort of thing in the ship. She confronts the new Jess. Which, so this is where things get weird. Remember, she confronts new Jess. She like almost shoots her, but then lets her go.
Oh, yeah.
And she ends up shooting the masked magician.
Okay, maybe I'm not remembering this. A lot happened. Like, this movie, a lot happens in this movie.
We see the masked magician kill Downey.
We do, yeah.
In the room 237. We see... And then we go to... Jess is the one who tells... Her plan is to, like, ambush the masked magician. Because the masked magician's the big villain here.
Oh, yeah. If you kill a masked magician, other people will survive.
So she goes to the dining room and tells Downey and Sally to go to the theater. Tell her with the plan. Which, that's why they weren't there when she got back in the first loop.
Yeah.
Because she told them...
This movie just, it's like a tightly woven web, you know?
Original Jess, OG Jess, does try and help Sally as she's, like, maimed after she was, like, shot and survived. But, like, obviously, you know, she's pretty freaked out because she still thinks Jess is the killer.
Yeah.
Sally does. So Sally's trying to escape, and she, like, jumps on the radio. This is where I fucked up earlier. Sally puts out a distress call, which is the call that Greg heard on the ship, on the Triangle sailboat. So that was Sally all along.
This movie has so many, like, I don't know if callbacks is the right word, but, like, it just keeps getting, like, it just keeps getting thicker and thicker.
Yeah.
For fans, you know?
And then OG Jess follows Sally, and then this is like, there's just so many upshifts. Another upshift when she follows Sally where Sally dies, that scene where there's like dozens of Sallys.
Oh my god. Yeah. Yes.
So she like, so Sally's like dying, like bleeding out and like trying to run away from Jess because you think Jess is going to hurt her. And Jess is like, I'm trying to help everyone. And Sally like escapes to like this kind of top deck, and she crawls up, and there's like dozens of dead Sallys when they get to the top deck,
and they're all different, like aged differently. You know, they're like really degraded Sallys. There's like kind of fresher Sallys.
Yeah, but they all clearly died the same way. And so then you're like, oh no! This is when you realize like how many times this has happened, and you're just like,
how deep
oh,
they're
no.
in it. Yeah.
And Jess, OG Jess, looks out from the top deck, and she sees new Jess and the masked magician fighting. And she sees the masked magician get the new Jess hacks masked magician to death, which is not what happened with her and her masked magician.
No,
but. Shit's fucked now.
And then she's in the thick of it.
Yeah. And then after the masked magician dies and all the rest of them are dead from the similar means,
she just got two Jesses on a boat.
Two Jesses on a boat. But then what's that I hear?
You hear some help calls.
A new group calling for help? Is the group's back?
Round and round we go, Jack. Round we're doing it again. Loop.
Upshift.
Upshift again.
So
we're
Jess,
on like shift 9 right now.
Yeah. OG Jess realizes that in order the loop restarts when everyone else dies. So her plan is to kill everyone as swiftly as possible. Well, her original plan is to prevent the new group from getting on the ship. Because once they get on, they can't, you know, the loop has to go on until it stops. But they get on the ship. She can't stop it. She's like too far away. So her new plan is to kill that group and then prevent the next group from going on the ship. Right. And so she goes back. She puts on the mast and becomes the mast magician.
We've been lying to you. We've been saying he, but it's really she.
Zag.
That's suspense.
And then the mast magician. She becomes the mast magician. And then the last loop, what different things happen? Not much. It's pretty much exactly like her loop, only she's the mast magician. She goes to room 237 to go to the theater to with Downey's blood. So even though she didn't, the previous mast magician killed Downey in that room, she takes the blood and writes go to the theater because Downey, as he was dying, wrote it's Jess on the mirror, and so she like converts that into go to the theater.
Yeah.
And then that loop plays out pretty much exactly like the first loop we saw, except she's the mask magician. And it goes pretty much beat for beat, right? It's not like the second loop where things are a little different. And same thing as the first loop. She, as the mask magician, she fails. She gets bested by the newest Jess.
Yeah. I think we get a good scene, though, of Jess talking with Greg on the balcony before Jess shoots him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of adds more to the, like, I can't remember the specifics, but I felt like that added a lot to Jess's character.
Yeah. Because she liked Jess, or Greg.
She did, yeah.
She didn't want to do that.
They had a connection in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. And she kind of explained to him the plan. She was like, I have to kill all of you, and then I'm going to stop you from getting on, and then you're going to wait for another boat, because this boat's fucked. Get on this fucking boat. So she jumps into the abyss of the sea. And OG Jess, we then see wash up on shore, which is something we had seen earlier. It was when she was napping, we saw like flashes of a dream. Mm-hmm. And this is that, her waking up on the shore.
A great callback.
Great callback. So she like runs to her house, and
is this where we find out where they are?
Shortly.
Okay.
I know you're talking about that sign, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're wrong. You're just wrong. Like, I don't know what else to tell you, but you're wrong.
I saw there. Okay. Are we doing this now?
No. We're gonna get there in order. Okay. Well, we find out that so Jess runs home, and so Jess is dressed as she was when she came to the Triangle, in the shirt and carnigan. We'll call it a carnigan. I don't know what it is. It's like a sweater thing.
I didn't even notice.
I think it's a carnigan. Well, because in the beginning she's like in a dress most of the time, and then she like is in a carnigan sometimes. So she runs home in a shirt and carnigan, and we realize that this is the very morning that she left, that we saw in the very beginning.
Oh yeah.
She rings the doorbell, and she is the one who rang it and didn't stay. She sees her son Tommy through the window, because like the whole thing is she wants to go home to her son who she loves. She feels very guilty for like leaving him for one day, you know. She sees him through the window, and he sees her, and he is very freaked out.
Rightfully so.
because he is two moms of the same their mom has multiplied.
Yeah.
And in his panic, he spills the paint. Yeah, so callback.
Yeah, call, God damn it is.
So many fucking callbacks.
Blue paint everywhere.
And then Dress Jess, we will call her. There's too many fucking Jesses to keep track of.
So many Dress Jess
comes back, and she gets pissed. She yells at Tommy. She's like, you spilled your fucking paint. She slaps him in the face.
Fucking hits him, yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough look. It's a tough look indeed.
Now, this is the first time you're like, no, Jess, what are you doing?
And but you could see, like, you know, the way they sold it was like she was so frustrated and she's doing this all on her own. It was like the last straw. She snaps. So then we see her cleaning up the paint like from the beginning, and then OG Jess like sneaks in the house and like hugs Tommy and she's like, it's gonna be okay. And it's the scene from the very first shot, is that scene with OG Jess hugging Tommy and saying it's gonna be okay, and like that lady didn't mean it.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
And then
this fucking movie.
Yeah. And then OG Jess takes out Dress Jess. She beats her with a mallet of some kind.
She fucking kills her, man.
Yeah, she just goes ham. I was not expecting that.
No, yeah. Hell no. Jess on Jess crime.
Jess on Jess crime. Kills Jess. Dress Jess. OG Jess. And then Jess puts her in a duffel bag and stuffs her in the trunk. The bad Jess. And then Tommy's in the car and they're driving, and I don't know where they're driving at. They're driving him to school. I'm not 100% sure.
I think that's implied.
He's driving him to school. We're going to talk about it. They drive past the sign that says the Sunshine State.
Right? They're in fucking Florida.
They're not in Florida.
They're in Florida. What else would it be? I could have sworn I saw a Florida license plate too.
I can't speak to the license plate, but the movie does take place in Queensland, Australia, which is also known as the Sunshine State.
Then why do none of them have Australian accents?
I don't know. I don't know.
Wouldn't it just make sense if they were in Florida? They're all fucking horrible people, except for mate. Like, I guess I don't know how I feel about Jess, but like, God, it just makes sense if they're in Florida.
I know it makes sense that they're in Florida, but I just don't think it is.
And, okay, so they're trying. We'll get into the meanings of the triangle name in the next episode.
Uh-huh.
But you cannot ignore the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah,
that's part of it, right? And isn't that like true. In the Caribbean? That's like south of Florida.
But I just okay. Isn't. Because there's this... Okay, I found this fact. Where'd it go? Okay, it is possible to see the set of the ship of Southport Split, blah, 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 on Google Earth. These are the exact coordinates, and it's in Greenland, or Queensland, which is the Sunshine State of Australia.
Okay, that's... The Bermuda Triangle is right off of Florida.
I just don't think that's correct. No, I mean, that is correct. And definitely that is like part of the... That's part of the like name. But the film was shot in Queensland, Australia. So there's that.
I'm not buying that.
You're not buying that.
I'm not buying it. Well, I believe it was shot there, but I'm not buying that's what it, I'm not buying that it means it was there. I just feel, what are the odds that like what four people and like are all from all Americans or Canadians living in there, you know, in like fucking Queensland, Australia. College friends that went to Princeton.
Yeah. I don't know. I just know that it's, yeah, okay. We'll have to agree or disagree on this one. Anyway, they drove past a sign that says Sunshine State, which we had that whole argument.
That's the point of the movie, right?
Yeah. And as she's driving with her son, she's like calming him down, like, that lady wasn't your mom sort of talk. She hits a seagull. Very, very scary.
Oh yeah, that did startle me.
Yeah. She pulls over and like the seagull's on the car or like on the ground. And she gets the seagull. She throws it over the side.
I'm ready for another gear shift.
You ready for another upshift? There's a pile of seagulls.
Oh shit.
Dozens of seagulls right there.
They did it again.
She's not out of the loop. She's still very much in the loop.
Oh yeah.
She thought she was out of the loop, but she's not. Fucking idiot.
Fucking idiot. What were you expecting? You can't get out of the fucking loop.
No, you're just stuck in the loop forever. So she's driving. So she like gets back and driving. She's like very freaked because she thought she was out of the loop. She is not out of the loop. And Tommy's like very upset about this whole ordeal. He just saw his mom kill his mom.
Saw the mom that killed the mom kill a bird.
A seagull, yeah. He's not having it. Very distracted. Distracted driving. Don't do this. Don't
not
do it
good
justice.
Driving. It'd be better if you drove drunk, honestly.
She swerves into the other lane and hits a semi.
Don't, like, she just looks behind for an extended period of time. Yeah. And doesn't even look at the road.
Yeah, and she clips a truck, and the car does a most excellent, like, twist through the air.
Oh, yeah, a great A twist. I'm starting to think we should edit out that comment I made earlier. let's keep rolling.
What
great
a crash.
Twist.
What a fucking crash. So the crash happens, and then we see old Jess dead. Because we know it's old Jess because she's wearing the dress. Mm-hmm. OG Jess has the Carnegie. We see Tommy dead on the road. Very sad. And then we see miraculously OG Jess looking on in the scene.
How does this work?
Well, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
OG Jess is looking on the scene, like the kind of the medical people are just arriving. They're like, you know, their two bodies are being looked at. And OG Jess is standing there, stunned and devastated. Because the whole thing was to be with her son.
She had a rough day.
And then a cab driver comes out of nowhere. Who is the last cast member that we had not mentioned.
Yeah. He showed up.
The only other cast member is this fucking cab driver. And he was like, "You need a ride?" And she was like, at first she's like, "What the fuck?" And then she was like, "Actually, take me to the harbor." And then she shows up at the harbor, and it's just as it was before when she first showed up at the harbor. That's why she was so frazzled.
Because she just watched her kid die.
Yeah, and then that's why she apologizes to Greg, because she shot him. She just shot him.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, that's why she feels bad. But she wants to start the loop again so she can try and save her son. Presumably. Right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's why she was like, let's do it again. Let's try one more time. And then it ends.
And then it ends, and you just sit there and watch the credits.
And you're just like, wow.
Wow, what the fuck just happened?
Well, we will talk a lot about what the fuck just happened in part two of Nora and Eric Show's breakdown of The Triangle. Do you have any other thoughts? I guess we kind of went a little long on this, so we'll probably just move to fuck this thing.
Yeah.
And talk about our thoughts. On next episode, do you have a fuck this thing?
I do. My fuck this thing is my dog and my parents' dog. I started working recently, which, like, when I was unemployed, I would just take them out, like, I'd take them on a walk every single morning. I started working. I wasn't able to take them on a walk every single morning. And this dog proceeded to shit all over my room in protest.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, in my fucking bed, dude.
In your bed?
Yeah, in my bed on the floor. Like, he must have, like, been saving it up. It was wild.
Did you, like, come home from work and find it?
It was right before I went to bed. I went to, like, turn on my fan, and I saw it, and I, like, started investigating, and it was just everywhere.
In protest.
Needless to say, I give in, and I will take him on a walk at night now.
There you go.
I am scared.
That's fucking hilarious. What a great... So petty.
Yeah, it's so petty. And it worked. That's the worst part.
My fucking thing is people who have, like, those super bright headlights.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Those people are the worst.
Yeah, it's the worst.
It's so really fucking obnoxious. I don't understand the point,
but it's awful.
Yeah. And they're always, like, beamers, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck,
it's like there's
people.
A high beam section, like, setting if you, you know... If you need more brightness and the situation is appropriate,
use it then. But when you're in a fucking city, it's never going to be appropriate.
Yeah, it's awful. I hate it. Yeah, so fuck that. Well, this was a fun one. This is a great movie. I do recommend watching it. There's a lot there that we couldn't get to.
Yeah, a ton, for sure.
So definitely watch it. It's currently free on, like, everything with ads, which almost adds to the experience.
Part of me hated it because it always came at the worst time, but it also, like, you're right, it added to it because it came, it's like, oh god damn it, I gotta wait.
Yeah, because you're like, and then you have to, like, think about what's going on, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, Triangle. It's on, I believe, YouTube with ads and Amazon with ads and Tubi with ads and a bunch of other places, maybe just those three. Take that back. So with that, fuck your dog and fuck bright headlights.
Fucking.